This series is really a small group study from Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren, and so I'm sharing that with you. And you say, "Well, what? So why do you do that?" Well, there's two reasons why I do it. One is sometimes especially like lately, we've had a lot of events and things going on, and so. If I'm not careful, that cuts into my sermon prep time. And so sometimes it's just wonderful to have something else that I can follow. And so I can devote some time to some other things like the 99-1 retreat and so on. But also, because if I said, "Hey, this is a great series, you should buy it and do it," you won't. So I said, "Wow, this is really something that my church, I feel like I need and my church needs. And so that is why I'm doing this series." And so today we are talking about being transformed in our mental health. Our memory verse for this series is, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It is good, pleasing, and perfect will." And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to transform ourselves by the renewing of our mind, changing the way we think. And that's really going to be the main focus for today's message. There is a battle that is going on. It's kind of an invisible battle. But yet we realize that even though the battle is invisible, it manifests itself in the way we live, in the way we think, in the way we act, and what we do. In 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5, in the New Living Version, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." That's an interesting concept, that as thoughts come into our mind, we take them captive. We capture those thoughts, and we run those thoughts through a filter, and that filter is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we say, do these thoughts measure up to what Christ has for us? Or are they a lie from the enemy, or are they some other thought that doesn't align itself with the teachings of Christ and what God has for us? And so we want to focus really on that last phrase there. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We struggle with what comes into our mind and what we think. And so we're going to look at five different things that we can do to help us to become transformed in our mind, in our thinking. The first one is this. I'll have you fill in the blank. Don't believe everything you
hear.
No. I knew you were going to say that. Don't believe everything you think. We often say don't believe everything you hear, but don't believe everything you think. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The heart is deceitful. And when we talk about the heart, we're also talking about the mind. The heart and the mind are really kind of interchangeable as it relates to the heart in Scripture. When they talk about the heart, they're not talking about that muscle that beats. They're talking about the way you think, your emotions, everything that kind of fits together in who you are. When you say to someone that you love, you say, I give my heart to you. We're not talking about giving that muscle away. You can't live without it. We're talking about, I give my thoughts, my emotions, who I am emotionally, who I am mentally. I'm giving that over to you. And you have thoughts that aren't true. You cannot be trusted to tell yourself the truth all the time. You can't. You tell yourself lies all the time. I tell myself lies all the time. For example, oh, that extra piece of cake isn't going to hurt. I deserve it. I'll just get up earlier and exercise tomorrow. Does all that happen? No. I can handle this problem. I can take care of it. I've got it under control. No. Oh, this isn't going to hurt me. I can handle it. No. We tell ourselves lies all the time. We deny the truth. This isn't as bad as it seems. And we cannot be trusted to tell ourselves the truth. So don't believe everything you think. When I taught Hunter's education, there was a concept that we would teach the students in the class. And it was this concept that you can't believe everything you see and everything you think. Because what happens is your mind runs ahead and it draws a conclusion that isn't true. And you make decisions on something that you perceive to be true, but isn't true. And I share with them this illustration. And this illustration is, I know a guy who shot a deer because he thought it was a rabbit. Now you say that is absurd. But what happened was, when he was a young man, he got off the school bus and it had just freshly snowed. And so he decided he wanted to go rabbit hunting. And so he ran in the house, grabbed his hunting coat and his 20 gauge, and he went out. And as he's walking in the brush and the briars at the edge of the forest, he sees a rabbit. He sees this little bit of brown flicker. And he pulls up and he shoots. Because in his mind ran ahead of him and saw that it was a rabbit and that he was going to shoot this rabbit. And it turned out that it was a deer laying down that had laid down before the snow came. And the snow rested on the deer's body. As you know, deer are very well insulated, so the snow can cover them and it won't melt. And so what he ended up doing was shooting a deer in the butt with a 20 gauge because he thought it was a rabbit. He had allowed his mind and his eyes to see something that wasn't there. And he made a premature conclusion. We do that all the time to ourselves. We cannot trust ourselves to tell the truth. We can't believe everything that we think. In 2 Corinthians 13:5a says, "And examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." Test yourselves. How do you do that? You run everything that you think up against Scripture and what you know to be true of God and what you know to be true of yourself. Some of you practice self-talk, but it's negative self-talk. You talk yourself out of things. You say, for example, that, God really doesn't love me because I'm a horrible person. Well, you're a really horrible person because you're calling God a liar. Or you say, God can't use me. And what you're actually saying is that God is incapable of doing all things. We tell ourselves lies all the time. So don't believe everything you think. The second thing that we need to do is to guard your mind against garbage. Guard your mind against garbage. You know the saying, garbage in, garbage out. You know, when you use a computer and sometimes you click on a site maybe to just try to sell you something or some interesting news story or whatever, you know, world's largest snake caught in Ethiopia. And so you say, ooh, and you click on it. And what you've done is you've allowed a virus to come into your computer and suddenly you have problems and your computer slows down. And so it's the same thing with the mind. Garbage in, and it begins to affect the mind. So we have to guard our minds against garbage. In Proverbs 15:14, in the New Living Translation, it says this: a wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. That's a great verse. A wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. We ought to probably write that out on a 3x5 card and put it on our computer screen or put it on our television. Because a lot of what we see and a lot of what we hear and a lot of what we take in is trash, is garbage. In Psalm 101:3, it says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Another translation says, no vile thing. And so we have a tendency to think, well, it has to do with porn, or it has to do with something that is extremely bad. And while that does apply, there may be other things that we would say aren't really bad, but the truth is, they're trash. It's garbage. And so I like this translation. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. And so there are three types of brain food, if you will. Things that we need to feed our brains. The first one is junk food. The first thing that we feed our brain is junk food. What is junk food? Well, junk food is not necessarily bad. We all like a little junk food now and then. It's not necessarily bad, but in excess, it doesn't do anything for you. It has no value. Another type of food that we feed our brain is toxic food. Toxic food. That might be pornography. It might be crime movies, you know, with a lot of gore and bloodshed. It might be books that we read about the occult or things, you know, in the other world, so to speak. It is toxic. It is destructive. It will destroy us. And so we have toxic food, we have junk food, and then there is healthy food. Healthy food. Things that will nourish us, things that will strengthen us, things that will cause us to grow, things that will bring change in our lives. And so in the diet, if you will, of our mental being, we take in three different things: toxic food, junk food, and healthy food. And if we're not careful, we will find that we are taking in junk food and we are taking in toxic food, but we're not taking in healthy food. So how do you guard yourself against consuming toxic food or junk food? How do you take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ? How do you do that? Well, here's a couple of suggestions. The one thing that you can do is conversational prayer. What is conversational prayer? Well, conversational prayer is having a conversation, an ongoing conversation with God. I find that this is the easiest way for me to pray. Is as thoughts come into my mind, I just simply pray about them. And I find myself trying to do that more and more. And so I might have a thought about a family member, and I might say, Lord, just minister to that person. Bring them to yourself. Encourage them through this difficult time. Or I could have a thought about a need. I've been looking for another vehicle. And so when a thought comes to my mind about, oh, that, you know, I see a car and I'd be like, oh, that'd be nice. And then I just pray, Lord, I trust you to bring me to the vehicle that I need. I trust you to provide for me. Help me not to be in a hurry. Help me not to be in a rush. Help me not to make an unwise choice. And so throughout the day, I just find myself praying and in a conversation with God. We often think of prayer as when we have to sit down in a quiet place and bow our heads and pray and have this long conversation with God. And we tend to think that the longer we do that, the longer we spend in that time of dedicated prayer, the more spiritual we are. Well, if that's the case, I'm not very spiritual. Because my mind tends to wander. I know that's I'm probably the only one who, when they sit down and try to talk to God, has a wandering mind. But my mind, and even when I'm having conversational prayers, as I shared a couple weeks ago, when I'm driving and I'm praying, and all of a sudden I'll see something, ooh, drop, or ooh, track. My mind tends to wander. And so I find that if I become aware that God is with me all the time, as the scripture says he is, and I just talk to him about everything, if I have a thought, maybe it's a discouraging thought, I just commit that to God. Noah put an excess amount of heavy batteries on my pallet this morning. So I pray that I would be able to deliver that I would have a good attitude, and I wouldn't beat Noah up when I get back to the shark. So I had those conversational prayers. And that helps us to guard our mind against garbage. Secondly, replace your bad thoughts with good thoughts. Speaking of Noah, he shared an illustration a couple of weeks ago in our morning time, in our family time, and he said, if I told you not to think about pink elephants, what are you all thinking about? Pink elephants. And so the key to replacing our bad thoughts with good thoughts is not to... to not think about, to try not to think about something. Because the more you try not to think about it, the more you what? Think about it. So what you need to do is, rather than trying not to think about something, you need to change what you're thinking about. And so he said, if I told you not to think about pink elephants, you would think about pink elephants. But if I told you to replace the thoughts about pink elephants with purple hippopotamuses, now what are you thinking about? Purple hippopotamuses. And so that's just a simple illustration, but that's what we need to do. We need to change, replace our bad thoughts with good thoughts. The Bible tells us to think about good things. And so we need to practice thinking about good things. Guard your mind against garbage. As you become aware of what you're taking in, you might be surprised how much garbage you actually take in, how much junk food and even toxic food you take in. Can I tell you that I am a much happier person? I know that's probably hard to believe, but I am a much happier person now than I was 2 years ago. Some of you say, well, that's because you had grandchildren. Yes, that's true. But it's also because I quit listening to the news and I gave up talk radio. Just gave it up. And even though there were some good thoughts and there were some things that I perhaps needed to know, I found that I became consumed with what was going on in the world, and in reality, things that I couldn't change. And I was taking all that in, and it was beginning to affect me. It was a heavy burden that I was taking on myself, and I found myself being anxious about things, being frustrated about things, and being angry about things. I was taking in that junk food and that toxic food. And I gave it up. And I'm much happier And so I switched to Christian radio, and now I just listen to Christian news. But I even found myself sometimes with the Christian news, I wouldn't say it's necessarily toxic, but they share things with me that the only thing I can do about them is pray. And even Christian news has a slant. I would say it's a good slant, but it has a slant. And so I have to be careful how much of that I consume, because it can begin to affect the way that I think and the way that I respond and the way that I behave. So number three, the third thing that we can do to transform in our mental health is never let up on learning. Never let up on learning. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. That's found in Proverbs 18:15 in the New Living Translation. And intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. You know, some of us, after we graduate high school, we never crack a book. We never take a class. We just kind of take life as it comes. We need to do better than that. In Proverbs 10:14, it says, wise people store up knowledge. Here's the interesting thing. As you read through the scripture, there are things that they tell you not to store up. Like, don't store up wealth. Why? Because it'll be destroyed. You can't take it with you. You're to store up things in heaven. The two things that you're told to store up is store up treasures in heaven and to store up knowledge. Those are the only things that you're told to store up. Wise people store up knowledge. So if I were to look into your mind's pantry of knowledge, would I find the shelves empty or full? When was the last time you read a book? When was the last time you took a class? You say, well, I don't read very well. Well, there is no excuse, because today there are all kinds of media that will read books to you. There's lectures on tape. There's classes that you can take on the computer. So there are two ways, really, to store up knowledge. And those are reading and relationships. Reading and relationships. Your life is largely influenced by the books you read and the people that you meet. But you say, well, Pastor, I don't read books, so that can't be true. No, the absence of reading books shows in the way you live, shows in the amount of knowledge that you have. Reading books and relationships. Those are the two ways to store up knowledge. If you're not a book reader, as I said, there are books on tape, there are seminars, there are classes, there is more media dedicated today to learning than there perhaps has ever been in the history of mankind. And so there is no excuse. There's also more media dedicated to nonsense, destructive behavior, junk, available now than there ever has been. So we need to make wise choices with regard to what we take into our mind. Relationships, you say, well, how does that affect us? Well, there's a couple of things that we can do in our relationships. One is develop relationships with people who will build us up, who will encourage us, who will challenge us to read, challenge us to study, challenge us to better ourselves. You say, well, I don't know anybody like that. Well, again, look for people, maybe on the internet. For me, John Maxwell has been kind of a mentor of mine for my life. I've read his books. I've attended his seminars. He's very encouraging, a believer. And so I take that stuff in. to encourage me and to challenge me. But find people, rub up against people that encourage you to learn, encourage you to grow, challenge you to change. Find some older people. I'm serious, younger people, find some older people. You know what's so great about that? It's because they've already lived life and they've already made the mistakes. And so you can either go it on your own and make the mistakes that everybody else makes, or you can find somebody who's encouraging, who's challenging, who may have a little bit of wisdom from living life and listen to them and take guidance from them. Because why? Because they've already been through it and they've already made mistakes. The tendency, though, for younger people, when I went through it when I was young, is that they don't know anything. My parents, they don't know anything. They're so out of touch. My grandparents, they don't know anything. But there's a lot of wisdom that can be gained. And so how do you glean that wisdom? Ask good questions. Ask good questions. And take notes. I wish I had written down some of the things that some older folks in my life had told me. But now they're gone. And I can't go find them and ask them and say, hey, tell me about this again. Because now I'm ready to pay attention. Two things, two ways to store up knowledge. Reading and relationships. Number four. Renew your mind daily with God's word. Renew your mind daily with God's word. Change doesn't start in your behavior. It starts in your thoughts. As I've said before, there are two catalysts for change. One is a person will hurt enough that they have to change, or learn enough that they know how to change. Those two things need to take place. And most people, unfortunately, wait until they hurt enough to change. They get themselves into trouble, and that trouble gets to be painful, and it begins to cost them relationships and cost them things. And so now I need to change. Why? Because it hurts. Change doesn't start in your behavior. It starts in your thoughts. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We have a couple of choices here. One is don't copy. And two, let God transform. You really can't transform yourself. Not by yourself. I mean, there are things that you can do, but you need God to help you to transform your life. But you can conform to the pattern of this world all by yourself. All by yourself. And so the question to ask yourself is, are you going to go through life on your own? Are you going to go it alone? Or are you going to go with God? Because it will make a difference in how your life comes out. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. We need to change the way we think by changing what we think. Our thoughts are fixed on God. So renew your mind daily with God's word. We don't want to spend a lot of time on this. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about getting up and spending maybe a few minutes in the morning with God. How about the first thing you do in the morning is either read the word or pray to God. Do you know that the first 5 to 10 minutes of your day will determine the rest of your day, how you react to the rest of your day? And so if you swing out of bed and you have a pet and the pet mess on the floor and you step in it, that's probably going to be a bad day. Or if you turn on the news and you hear a news story or something that's discouraging, it may affect the rest of your day. But if the first thing you do is spend time with God, either in prayer or through His Word, that will affect the rest of your day. So renew your mind daily with God's Word. And finally, number five, and I love this one. Let God stretch your imagination. Let God stretch your imagination. Now, glory be to God, who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. May He be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of His master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:20 through 21, the Living Bible. I love it. Now, glory be to God, who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. God wants more for you than you could even begin to ask. Let God stretch your imagination. Think big thoughts. Dream big dreams. You know why God doesn't do more? It's because you have no imagination. Really? I mean, so many of us are just content to take life as it comes, however it comes, and we don't get out of our comfort zone, and we don't allow God to stretch our imagination, and we don't dream big dreams. We just take life as it comes. And then we look at other people and we say, how come God can do so much through them, and He doesn't do anything through me? Because you have no expectations. You have no imagination. You have no dreams. And so, this is God saying to us, you have permission to dream. You have permission to think big thoughts, to have big ideas, to move out in faith. Because why? Because God wants to do more for you than you want to do for yourself. His desire is way more. I heard a pastor say once that it will be a shame if we go to heaven and God takes us to a door and He opens that door. And inside that door are filled with all kinds of things. And you say to God, God, what is this? And He says, these are all the things that I wanted to bless you with, that I wanted to give you, that I wanted to do through you. But you never asked. You never asked. So here they are. Let God stretch your imagination. In Proverbs 29:18 in the King James Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What is your vision for your life? What is your vision? What is your vision for this church? What is your vision for your family? What is your vision for your children? What is your vision for your marriage? What is your vision for your career? God's saying, hey, dream big. Dream big. Because I can do way more than you could ever think of. That's so encouraging to me. I have dreams and thoughts, lots of them. I don't share them often. Sometimes it takes me years to work up the courage to share them. Shadow Haven Ministries was one of those things. Just because I'm used to people, you know, raining on my thoughts and dreaming, oh, that, why would you want to do that? How are you going to do that? And lots of times I have dreams and people will say, well, how's that going to happen? I have no idea. I don't have a clue. But it's a dream. It's something that I want God to do. I want to be a part of. So let God stretch your imagination. And when someone shares with you a dream, don't be a dream killer. Encourage them. Maybe it'll never happen. Maybe their dream is a result of something they ate the day before. I don't know. But encourage them to dream. Encourage your kids to dream. Your kid comes up with some idea of some career. Oh, don't say, that'll never work. Or you can't make any money doing that. Encourage them. Encourage them. Tell them that, you know what? God wants to do in you more than you could ever dream or imagine. Go for it. So let me close with this. Kind of an acronym of THINK. So let me give you these. T, test every thought. Test every thought. Every thought that you have, test it. See, first of all, if it is true. Secondly, see if it is holy. And if it is pleasing to God. And if it is encouraging. And if it is edifying. If it is all those things, test those thoughts. Run those through your head. Change the way you think. Secondly, helmet your head. Put a helmet on. Protect your head. Protect what you take into your head. What you view. What you allow to come into your head. Third, the letter I is imagine great thoughts. Imagine great thoughts. Don't be afraid to dream big with God. You know, and if you don't want to share it with people, share it with God. As part of a conversational prayer. Lord, I'd love to see this happen. I'd love to do this. I'd love to be a part of this. If you just allow me to be a part of this, imagine great thoughts. Letter N, nourish a godly mind. Stay in the Word. Fill yourself with things that are godly. And letter K, keep on learning. Keep on learning. So let me ask you, what is your 3-month goal for developing a healthy mind? What is it that you're going to do? So we talked earlier about things that you put in your mind, the food that you put in your brain. So there's toxic food, there's junk food, and then there's health food. Okay. I have tried and have done pretty well with eliminating toxic food from coming into my mind. I haven't done really well with the junk food that comes into my mind. So I have this habit that God has shown me, is that when I come home from a long day, I'll sit in my chair and I just don't want to think about anything. I just want to eat a meal. And so what do? I turn on the television. And what I watch isn't bad. I mean, it's actually pretty good stuff. I mean, you know, I like MASH and I like the Andy Griffith Show and I like Barney Miller and some of those old shows. And, you know, for the most part, they're harmless. But they're also not very helpful. I mean, I can quote to you lines from MASH. I have seen every MASH episode probably 20 times. Why do I do that? It's just junk food. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with just relaxing, just turning off your mind and just relaxing. But I was thinking that, you know what, I could also read. I mean, I don't have to necessarily read a ministry book or an educational book. I could read a fun book. On vacation, I read a fun book, and I actually learned some things that I didn't know. And so for me, the challenge is, you know what, I want to cut out the junk food. I want to watch less of those reruns that I've already seen 100 times and read a book. I want to read. That's what I want to do over the summer. Watch less TV and read more. And I don't really watch a lot of TV, but more than I probably need to. And I bet the same is true for you. But maybe that's not where God's working at. Maybe God's working on you in one of the other five areas. And so I say publicly to you that what I want to do, my goal for developing a healthy mind is to consume less junk food for my mind, TV, and more health food, read. I want to read this stuff. So what is yours? What is yours? Because here's what I know. Everyone here can have a healthier mind. Every one of us can have a healthier mind. And so what's your challenge? What is God saying to you that you need to change? Father, we pray that we might quiet our hearts and allow you to speak to us and show us areas in our life or maybe we are consuming things that are toxic. Or just consuming things that are worthless. Maybe consuming things that are destructive. We pray, God, that you would give us the courage to take steps of faith and begin to change the way we think. The way we think about ourselves, the way we think about others. Maybe we are consumed with negative thoughts. We pray, Father, that you would help us to turn those around into positive thoughts. And that our mind might be set on you instead of on the things of this world. We pray, God, that we might be transformed in our mental health. Guide us, direct us, encourage us, and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.